Good morning. If you have been here in August over the last couple of years, you've heard two previous messages that I've shared. Each of those were heavily laden with videos, photos, slides, and I had to work diligently with the tech team upstairs behind us to pull those off. Well, today, guys, I'm going old school. No videos, no photos, no slides, nothing. So you can relax. But now here comes the challenge. To go old school, I'm going to have to rely on each and every one of you to participate in this worship service with me. And we're going to start in a unique way. I'm going to read from five different categories of different activities that you and I might have shared over the last 7 years. And as I read them, just think about them. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. So let me start with number one, outdoor activities. Anyone that has ever gone golfing, fly fishing, to a baseball game, done any of those things with me, at the end, raise your hand. Service activities, serving on a church committee, doing community service projects, working in the church kitchen, preparing a meal, serving, cleaning up. Category three. Ministry-related activities, attending a men's ministry Bible study, participating with a men's huddle or a barbecue class this year, attending a Lenten breakfast, participating in the men's Sunday school class that we had a few years back. Category number four, hospitality activities. Anyone that's been invited to my house to share a meal, or possibly you invited Kathy and myself to your house to share a meal. Let's raise our hands. Now, for all of those that haven't raised your hand, I apologize for not reaching out to you by now. And now you are on the top of my list to be invited. So you should expect a phone call or an email or something from me so that we can take care of that and get that done. Just for fun, I read off a whole bunch of things here. Anyone out there has done more than one? With me? Raise two hands. Excellent. I've enjoyed each and every one of those times, the times we spent together, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the koinonia that we have spent together. I'm sure there's a couple of you out there saying, what did he just say? What a funny way to say thank you. To use a word koinonia. Number one, it's a hard word to pronounce. I looked it up in Google, where you go if you want to find out something important. There's multiple ways to pronounce this word. In all honesty, I'm going to stick with the one I started with because that's the only one I can pronounce right now. So koinonia it is for the rest of today. It's also a hard word to spell. If anyone's ever read one of my emails or read anything that I've written, spelling is not one of my gifts. So. Just work with me whenever that happens. But when I opened up the dictionary, traditional dictionary, looked up koinonia, I was happily surprised to find that there was a section underneath it that said theology. Description read, Christian fellowship or communion with God or more commonly with fellow Christians. That's a pretty exciting phrase. The word fellowship is derived from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia can be defined as holding something in common. And this one commentary references that it shows up approximately 20 times in the New Testament. Well, the word koinonia is a Greek word. And why do presenters reference a word, a Greek word, especially when we're talking about the New Testament? Well, the answer is that the New Testament was initially written in Greek. It included all the richness of the Greek language combined with the culture of that time. So to study the New Testament, often we have to go back and recognize the original root word. Koinonia is made up of many words. I'm not going to get into that. But it's important to recognize that koinonia, the active part should be part of our daily lives as Christians. Let us take a look at some scriptures and work our way through it. Let's begin with committed and devoted to our brothers and sisters. Acts 2:42. And they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It's a pretty good place to start. Being committed and devoted to our brothers and sisters, those of us that make up the body and the church. So what does that mean for our daily practical life? It means that we can stand by each other. We can be present. Remain with. Be loyal to. Pay persistent attention to. Hold fast. And continue to be in presence or in koinonia. We might think that that's an easy thing to do, but with all the distractions of today, we have to be intentional about doing this. Cell phones in one hand, constantly looking at them, television, any kind of distraction of news, anything that's going on around us, we so easily can just be pulled apart. Even when we're sitting with our family or sitting with friends or having someone over to share time, so many little things can just interfere with the quality of that time we spend. What can we do daily with our brothers and sisters? Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So daily we are called to build each other up, to speak the truth in love, to encourage each other, to teach and admonish one another. We do that periodically through our Bible studies, our small groups, our family times when we get together. When we get together to work in a ministry or a missions or some kind of church activity, we're gathering together for the purpose of teaching, admonishing, and lifting each other up. And on occasion, when we have to speak in truth, let's do it in love. How about when we actually have to show love? In this case, I'm talking phileo, brotherly love. Let's take a look at Philippians 2:1-2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Simply meant, show love by spending quality time with others. Show love through spiritual growth and maturity, the investment that we give into others. Show love in the process of working out one's salvation. That's something that we do together. It takes the church. It takes each and every one of us, our strengths, our maturity, and our faith to stand beside each other and pour into each other to help one's salvation to come to fulfillment. For the most part, everything that we've talked about up till now could be considered horizontal koinonia. It's what we do together. It's what we share between us. If we take a look at the Old Testament, we see a great example of true biblical koinonia being freely shared in the lives of young King David and Jonathan, the son of then King Saul. David and Jonathan saw something great in each other. So great, in fact, that they were willing to enter into a covenant with each other. Now, a covenant for us as believers, as we understand it, it's not like a contract that we use today. Contracts are designed, for the most part, meant to be broken. A covenant is not. A covenant means that you are fully committed with your heart, your soul, your spirit, and even to death, your life, to this person that you enter into a covenant with. In the story of David and Jonathan, there are many examples of how they each lift up each other, how we put their lives on the line for the other. And eventually, David has to depart. David is being chased by King Saul and some of King Saul's army. And even during that time, David held true to his faith. Holding true to your faith when we are challenged. Easier said than done. It's at those times that we truly need to call upon our brothers and our sisters to stand beside us, to give us all of that koinonia that we so desperately need to get through it. David and Jonathan, their relationship could be considered a virtuous friendship. That's defined when you are so committed to one another that you are giving your life, giving your all for a common goal, a singular goal. Shouldn't all of our relationships be virtuous friendships? Shouldn't we all be so connected to the message of Jesus Christ, to the gospel, to all that has been given to us and shared with us, and to all that which we are then supposed to share with others? Each and every one of our relationships between our brothers and sisters should grow in maturity till we could call them virtuous friendships. In today's day and age, that usually becomes apparent when someone says, "What, you two?" When we find ourselves going through a challenge and someone else is going through the same challenge, and we have the opportunity now to come together and not stand alone, but stand in the company of our brothers and sisters. There's another lesson that we learn from David while he is being chased by King Saul. And that is vertical koinonia. In Psalm 59, while David is in distress, being chased, outnumbered, during complete uncertainty, David continues to praise God. He doesn't let go of that. That is his strength. That is his rock. That is where he turns. When nothing else is going right, that is where young King David turns. And how does he do that? He entered into prayer. Simply prayed to his God, Abba Father, asking for all that he needed to get through this challenging time that was in front of him. Prayer. Well, we just mentioned prayer a minute ago. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Teachings, we get that from our pastors, we get that from our ministry leaders, we get those from our mature brothers and sisters, guiding us, leading us, to the fellowship. We just talked about it. We raised our hands all those times that we've been getting together as brothers and sisters, doing important items for the church, mission trips, events, also some fun items. The breaking of bread, that's the part that I like best. Doing barbecue, inviting you over, sharing hospitality, just enjoying time with one another. And lastly, to prayer. Prayer. The most effective horizontal koinonia starts with vertical koinonia. It starts with prayer. Our prayer life needs to be strong. Our prayer life needs to be committed. Our prayer life needs to be devoted. Our prayer life needs to be for the other person. Intercessory prayer. Our prayer life needs to be filled with love. And in that, the fruit just pours from heaven. So let's go back to that list that I mentioned in the beginning. I said there were five categories: outdoor activities, service activities, ministry-related activities, hospitality activities. That was four. I never read five. Five is intercessory prayer. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this time. I'm just going to ask you to ponder this. Have you ever entered into intercessory prayer for me and my family? Have you entered into intercessory prayer for another family of the church? Have you entered into intercessory prayer for the whole church as a body? That's part of our daily life. And through the vertical koinonia, we then are filled and prepared and ready for the horizontal koinonia that faces us each and every day. The good and the bad, the challenges, the obstructions, the festivals, every opportunity that we get to pour into each other and spend time with each other. But I want to bring your attention to one other thing. Just recently, the church has produced our new directory, church directory. I had a chance to look through this the other day, recognizing some new faces, some new people that I haven't had the chance to spend time with. And I counted up that roughly there's about 80 families that are shown, 80 families or household units if it's a single person that's listed. So if you do the math, you could pray for two families every week. And that's still going to leave you 2 weeks for vacation and about 10 weeks just in case life got busy 1 week and you didn't have a chance to get to it. So what would that look like from the perspective of heaven? 80 families praying every week for two other families in our church. It means we're praying for over 100 families every single week. Asking heaven, asking Abba Father God to pour down his praise, his blessings, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his healing to our brothers and sisters, to this church, to this body. I can't even imagine what that would look like from heaven. But I can certainly project that if we were all doing that, we'd be filled, overflowing. Our lives would have so much bounty, so much blessing, that we'd easily be able to share that with our extended family members. It'd pour into that 8 and 15 list of names that God puts us in contact with. Easily enough left over for our workplace that we go to each and every day. Still more for our local community that's all around us. And only God knows where it would go from there. So this is my challenge. And in men's ministry, sharing a message is great, but if you don't challenge men, they just forget it. So I'm challenging everyone here. Stick with the 8 to 15. That's it. That's something that the church has bought into, something that is an active part of the church. Take this as a new tool. Thumb through it. Find someone that you haven't had koinonia time with or haven't introduced yourself to and do that. But more importantly, let's all pray. Let's pray for two other families every single week. And let's just see what God is going to do to us and for us and with us. Let's pray.